Sports Radio 929 The Game. This is The Morning Shift. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Squidbilly. She is Allie Mack, and he is Michael P. Johnson, along with a little Dylon thrown in the mix and the edited version of Nelly. Threw me off when he said hotness. I was like, hot? No, that's not what he says.
Is he coming to town soon? Lindsay was asking me if I wanted to go to his concert, and I was like, probably not, but I respect it if you want to go.
Man, that is such a good show. You should go.
She's looking for a good show. She's like, it's funny. Like, she's looking for a friend to go with her, and she's like asking me, and I'm like, you could find somebody else that would want to go. I would kindly bow out.
I saw him with Florida Georgia Line.
I did too.
Phenomenal.
That's a random pairing.
And you know who else was with him? Backstreet Boys. When I saw him.
All three of them?
Yeah.
At the same time?
Yeah, they just appeared because they had a song together.
Oh, God, Your Mama and Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They came out, Backstreet Boys came on stage and started singing it. We were in Nashville.
Okay, I was going to say, this didn't happen here.
No.
Okay.
It didn't happen here. Nope.
No, that
makes
sense.
I was in Nashville, and that was the tour. It was the Nelly Florida Georgia Line, and Backstreet Boys came out on stage.
Yeah.
So you did your top five list.
Yeah.
Of villains, and I wanted to find a list of villains, a top 10 list, and I found a top 20 list that some magazine did.
Okay.
And they had, and this is really more of an Allie question because you don't know about Star Wars as much, but they had Kylo Ren on the list, and they had Darth Vader at one.
Mm-hmm.
But I have an issue with that.
Why?
Because how does Darth Vader and Kylo Ren both make the ultimate villain list, yet the ultimate villain of Star Wars is Emperor Palpatine? So how does the guy that ran it all, and literally the series that both of them are in, he is the be-all, end-all of evil, and both of those guys turn good. So how is that? Like, that to me is no.
He's more in the background.
No.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not the Star Wars expert. I don't need these Star Wars nerds coming at me. They've already taken over my birthday. And I have dogs named Han and Chewie. But I don't know.
Just saying this, I think that's a flaw. But I appreciate you putting Darth Vader on your honorable mention.
It was a head nod. It was like, look, I understand that this is he's a cult hero in a lot of different ways, and it kind of is what it is. So I don't know much about him, though.
Had you have done TV show villains, had you done that, would Tony Soprano made the list? Because you consider him a villain.
I think that's such a long path. Like, then you got to go, like, okay, Walter White's a villain.
Is he?
Yeah.
But if
Tony Soprano's a villain, then Walter White's a villain. Absolutely.
But maybe you have to do a list of anti-heroes.
Yeah, I don't know. That sounds like a subcategory.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I was looking at a list of villains as well. The one that stood out to me was Misery. What is her name? Annie. The woman that takes him, is obsessed with him, and takes him captive, and then just
beats him up.
Yeah, that's Kathy Bates that plays the role.
Yeah, Kathy Bates that plays the role.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Kathy Bates is a good villain.
Isn't Kathy Bates also Dolores Claiborne? Who's Dolores Claiborne? That's a very good villain as well.
I believe she is. Oh, you guys are over there just chopping it up.
Yeah, it's Kathy Bates as well. That one's because she like kills her husband or whatever because he's abusive. It's crazy. Like, my database is dumb.
Clearly, your list is pretty okay, Mike, if we're having to Google extra people to add to it.
I feel good about it. I feel great about it, actually.
No, I've not criticized your list at all. In fairness, I don't want to.
You said it was the best one I've ever done, which I'm like thinking back going, there had to have been one further up than this.
No, this is the one I can argue the least with.
All right.
Which means it's the best.
All right, fair enough.
The only one, again, Patrick Bateman and Anton Chigurh.
Yeah.
That's American Psycho. And No Country for Old Men.
No Country for Old Men, I definitely gave a look to that. I don't know. Didn't quite fit what I was looking for, but it is what it is nonetheless.
He's so evil in that movie.
Real quick before we get the wake-up call, is there anybody, because we were talking about the Falcons roster, anybody on this roster that not a lot of people expect to make that you are hoping makes the list? Because I got one. How about Josh Woods? I really hope Josh Woods makes this team. Really big fan of what he's been – been doing. You got him written down too?
Yeah, he's in my middle linebackers.
There you go.
Inside linebackers.
I'm really hoping he makes the list. I think a lot of people will have J.D. Bertrand in that role or whoever else.
Again, I think Josh Woods is a better version on the defensive side than what they think D'Angelo Malone could be as far as inside. He's kind of in between. Like he's a mixture of all the guys they have on that roster at inside linebacker.
Yeah.
And he's done it on the special teams. I'm also just happy he didn't tear his knee up Friday night because he had a nasty bend his knee back and it looked nasty at first.
Yeah. 404-726-0929. It's time for the wake up call. Allie, I have seen a couple of tweets from people that had issues with the list. We'll get to those in just a minute. But let's go to the phone lines. Dylan, let's go ahead and talk to our buddy Tinker over in Kennesaw. Tinker, it was a perfect list, was it not, my friend?
Man, y'all are brave. Y'all are so brave. But I would probably shut down the social media for a day. Now, my I do like me a good Buffalo Bill character.
He was
the originator of the Tuck Rule. But y'all are so brave, though. Them Star Wars folks, they're coming. They're going to be like waves. They're going to be like waves on the beach. Boom.
Sure they're already out there.
Right? Y'all, it's for them people.
Well,
I'm telling you, you need to sit down and watch it.
All right. I'll give it a go.
I like Star Wars. I've seen them all. I'm a fan of it, but no, I mean, I don't think we're worried. I don't think a guy at 6'6", 290 is afraid of a bunch of nerds.
It just feels so insurmountable at this point in my life. It's like it's like a mountain that you can't climb.
There's so much to it, and then you have to go back to like the 70s movies, and they're just not. I'm going to get so much hate for this, but like older movies just don't do it for me. Like it looks old, right? Like it looks old. So yeah, it's just not what I'm going to do. I do have dogs named Han and Chewie, though, so you can't come for me.
Wow. Anyways, let's go back. 404-726-0929 if you guys want to weigh in on the top five or if you got some Falcon stuff you want to discuss.
Too late to vote her off the island.
hey, let's go out to the phone line, Dylan. Let's talk to Rob over in Locust Grove. Rob, what's going on, man? Happy Tuesday.
What's up, home team? Welcome, Allie. My first time calling since Tiffany left, so just want to welcome you to the team as well. I got two. I don't have a problem with the list, but I got two that I really would have liked to probably find a way in there. Number one, you gotta do Frank Lucas, and Denzel would have been on the list twice for playing Frank Lucas and American Gangster, because when that Joker came out talking about $35,000 alpaca, when you got a blot, the wine, man, that one right there was crazy.
Very solid.
And then
I like
the
that.
Other one, you gotta go with my man Jack Nicholson from The Shining.
Ooh.
He had finished writing that book, and the whole book said, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy? Man, that was it. Love you guys, and I love to hear you guys talk about it.
Hey, don't forget, if you're going to put Stephen King, and I know we bring it up with like Dolores Claiborne and Misery, but if you're going to put Stephen King bad guys, you got to bring up Pennywise.
Ooh.
That's a good one, too.
That's a
great one, actually. Hey, let's go back out to the phones now. Let's bring in Gary from Calhoun. Gary, what's going on, buddy? Happy Tuesday.
Hey, man. Y'all doing all right this morning?
Doing great, man. Living the dream.
Yeah, one of the guys I'd love to see the Falcons keep. That's that Nash kid.
Yeah,
I think
Nash.
I think he's done a really good job in the preseason games that he's played in. I just really hope they keep him.
Yeah,
that's all I got to say.
Appreciate the phone call. I will say this, and I think you guys will probably agree with this. It was just too much of a hill to climb. Like, I don't think we expected David Sills to be a roster lock midway through preseason. I don't think we expected Chris Blair and Dylan Drummond to have the preseason they've had. And they've been around a little bit. It's not like they're new. And Nick Nash, I think we all heard about him coming in, and he's the offensive player of the year in his conference and everything else. But it was too big of a hill to climb. It's almost like it was not a good team for him to be on, honestly.
I don't really foresee anybody swooping in and taking him, maybe. But he will be back here on the practice squad. He's not a guy that they're just going to walk away from. I don't believe.
No, I agree with you on that. I could point to four of them. You want me to point to the four guys that are rookie undrafted free agents I think could be on the P squad they're not going to walk away from? Kobe Bryant, Simeon Barrow, Nick Nash, and what's our boy's name that plays left guard? Josh Gray. I think they would have all those guys
absolutely
on the P squad if they can get them to come back.
Absolutely. And guys, you're, look, you're I know where y'all are coming from, too, in a lot of this, is you want these guys because you think there's potential. But you can't – you're trying to win this year. We can't talk out of both sides of our mouth as a fan base and a media that, hey, the pressure's on this year, and then say, well, I hope they keep this guy because I like him, and I think they could be something someday. They got to have guys right now. And I'm with was it Rob? Whoever.
No, I'm sorry. That was Gary that called
I'm,
right
I'm
there.
I'm with Gary. I agree with him. I like what, especially the last game. I like Nick Nash really kind of came into his own.
Very rangy.
But you're going to have to cut him and bring him back to the practice squad. You can't put him on the 53. He's not helping you win a game in two weeks.
I would argue that we're keeping six, which is more than they kept last year on me and you, both of our projection.
Yeah.
I would argue that he's probably in ninth place in the wide receiver room.
Yeah, right. I don't think he's over Blair.
No, I don't either.
Or Drummond. Because they do more right now.
Yeah, they do. He is rangy. He's a good player, just not there yet.
Well, we got to put a pin in that conversation because we're going to get back to it in a moment. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today. Start packing. And coming up, we do have a few more names to list for that 53-man roster. It is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are The Morning Shift. It's Allie Mack, Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Dylan putting on the jams today. And we are closing out the 53-man roster list that Mike and Bo are predicting for the Falcons today. I do want to mention, though, that we got a tweet pointing out that we missed Scar from The Lion King on Best Villains. He killed his brother and tried to kill his nephew.
That's actually a good point.
In front of children.
That's actually a good point. But if we're going to go down the Disney villain list, like, you can't stop there, though. You got to go with, like, Jafar.
Yeah.
And, like, you just got to keep rolling.
Run away. Yeah. Run away and never return, Simba.
I mean, Jafar just tried to overthrow the entire kingdom, turn himself into a massive cobra.
So do you know in The Lion King, the voice of Scar in the original is Jeremy Irons, right? Jeremy Irons plays Hans Gruber's brother in Die Hard 3.
I'm trying to piece this all together right now.
Yeah.
All connected.
I'm just saying.
You know who was one that I did not make the cut we haven't brought up yet? Commodus, which I think is Joaquin Phoenix in Gladiator.
Yeah, it's a very good one.
Such a solid one.
Yeah.
He was definitely somebody that I thought about on the way into work this morning. I was like, Commodus.
The time for honoring yourself will soon come to an
end.
But
he didn't make my list because in the end he was such a little bee.
Yeah, well, aren't most of them?
No.
That's where
absolutely
it stems
not.
From.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, Alonzo wanted someone else to shoot Ethan Hawke.
Alonzo
kind of
fits
the people
in that,
the neighborhood.
But, like, Kaiser Sose? No.
I mean,
Joker? Joker was not. Dude, he was ready to go. Like, he was ready. He was bowing whatever.
But a lot of villains in movies are kind of weak. I mean, that's kind of it. Like,
it all stems from insecurity, doesn't it?
Let's see.
How did Gary Busey's character in Lethal Weapon 1 not make it? Mr. Joshua.
I mean, do I have to spell it out? This just didn't make the list. Who are you going to remove is the problem.
I don't know. But, I mean, Mr. Joshua could have been an honorable mention. But
I can tell you who was not a B at the end is John Doe. Yeah, he was down for whatever. Like, he was ready to ride.
But he was ready to die.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Joker was the same way.
He knew he was going to die. I mean, that movie.
He went out.
I mean, the fact that
guns blazing.
I think Gwyneth Paltrow ends up in a box in that movie. I mean, this is
spoiler alert.
Yeah, well, if you haven't seen Seven,
yelled at you.
I'm
calling Grant. I just yelled at
you. I'll tell Grant. Well, hey, I mean, she crapped on Star Wars earlier.
Yeah, he's probably upset with me for that. All right, getting back to this 53-man roster, we will know exactly who is on it at 4 o'clock today. But for now, we are making predictions. Mike and Bo have come up with the 53 they believe will be making it. Are we up to 36 players now? Is that what we decided? I think it's 36.
I was going to say, we're going to land it.
No, I've only got 14 left.
Yeah, that's right. So you're at 36. So and only, then three specialists.
Oh, I already got the specialists counted in. I'm sorry.
Yeah, my bad.
All right, let's go to safeties. Who do you guys have there?
I've got Jesse Bates, spoiler. I've got DeMarco Helms. I've got Xavier Watts. And I've got Jordan Fuller.
Mm-hmm.
Seems pretty simple. Although I could see a curveball being thrown in there. I could see a curveball of like you wanting to have some flexibility and just, you know, maybe move on from like Jordan Fuller, but I don't see that happening. But I could see them saying like, you know, we'll play Billy Bowman back there in a pinch or something like that. But
yeah, but that doesn't mean that Billy Bowman's not listed as a safety though to me. He's a
no, he's not. I'm just saying if there was going to be any wiggle room, that would be where it would be at for me. Like I think that you would move on, but that's the four I have. That's the four I have him keeping. I think that's pretty cut and dry.
Okay.
Yeah, no problem.
I agree with that. Okay. No, that's who I had. I mean, I don't know if I need to go back through it, but that's who I had. Same four.
Okay, well, then let's move on to corners then.
So I've got Mike Hughes and AJ, obviously. Those are your starters. I mean, I think that's pretty cut and dry. I have D. Alford, Natron Brooks, and Billy Bowman. I have five. Now, this is the number that I think, this is where I think I could be wrong. And here's why, is I think that those five are locked. But I'm not so sure they don't keep four linebackers, inside linebackers, and C.J. Henderson as an extra DB or, you know.
Hang on. Let me get there.
Okay.
I want to, before you start filling out your, you know, your depth chart and every, you know, taking shots at it, I just want to say that you have been the one that has talked me into this. So I just want you to take, you know, guilt in knowing that I actually kept six and Mike Ford was one of them. That Mike Ford was one of them. I have been saying all along, like, I don't see how Mike Ford makes this team. And then I start chopping it up. Look, he can play inside, outside. We talked about position flexibility. Talk about he's a special teams ace. And I'm like, you know what? What Terry said on Friday when he was in the booth with you and Wes and Dave about you start with the 45 that you have on game day and you work backwards from there, I kept Mike Ford on the roster. So I had Mike Hughes, A.J. Terrell, Natron Brooks, D. Alford, Billy Bowman, and Mike Ford.
Okay.
Had them all four. And I think that D. Alford and Natron Brooks both can play the outside. I think Mike Ford can play the outside. And I think the three, D. Alford, Billy Bowman, and Mike Ford can also play the nickel.
So then who did you cut in linebacker then?
Okay. At linebacker. Allie, are we free to move on?
Move on to linebackers.
At linebacker, have them on Sunday because you're going to go through the whole PUP and IR thing, which is fine. I'm just worried about who's going to be the game day roster. Divine Diablo, Cade Nellis, Josh Woods, and D'Angelo Malone are the four I have at linebacker.
So I
had them letting go of J.D. Bertrand and then Troy Anderson. He's going to be on the PUP list.
Yeah, I kept five with Anderson. So I kept the same four and then added the fifth in Troy Anderson,
We both agree that that doesn't last, right? That you don't like he's not on the roster on Sunday. So who are you adding back?
Well, I don't know because they've been very, this is where it gets hard because based on what we know, he's not going to play. He wouldn't play in 10 days.
Right.
Or 11 days. But based on what they alluded to, they acted like they thought he might be ready for the third preseason game, and but he wasn't, and he didn't, and they haven't activated him. So I'm not sure where they go. Do they? Because if they were to carry him over to into the regular season on the PUP, it means he's got to miss at least the first four games,
which puts him coming back after the bye week. And honestly, the timing of the bye week being week five leads me to believe that they would do that.
I'm not saying they won't. I'm not sure if they will. I just don't know where they stand. But I could very well see that. And then you basically, somebody on this roster is playing for their job. You know, but there's somebody that they know. They're like, well, when Troy gets healthy, Woods is gone, or Malone's gone, or maybe they could say Mike Ford's gone.
Well, and let's go back to the DBs for just 1 second, because I think that, you know, the not silver lining, the opposite of whatever. So the downside to what I'm saying here is if they're going to keep Mike Ford, they're going to let go of Clark Phillips, Kobe Bryant, and C.J. Henderson, which is it's tough to stomach when you look at what each of those guys could possibly bring. I don't think that Kobe Bryant did enough in preseason to make me think that he's got a spot at all. I think he was injured most of the time, and then when he did play, he was very grabby. I just don't think he looked great. C.J. Henderson actually did, but he just hasn't been around long enough. I am curious because you and I have talked about the conversation that they evidently had where he had multiple opportunities and chose to come to the Falcons, it led you and I both to believe that maybe they said that, you know, he had a roster spot, but who knows? And then Clark Phillips, who's been around for a couple of years and was a fourth-round draft pick, but, man, you look at the competition back there and what Clark Phillips is and what maybe Jeff Ulbrich's looking for, and the fact that he was not mentioned in this nickel conversation, wasn't mentioned in the outside conversation when it came, you know, draft time, I don't know. I just have a hard time believing he's got a spot, too. So those are three that were really tough for me.
You can't make the – he didn't – he was hurt, didn't get the chance to show what he was. He hasn't – I think the probably the craziest thing for me is I don't know where – you talk about tweener and don't know where you fit. Clark Phillips never really made a great – in the first 2 years, he never made a point to say, I have to be on the outside, look how good I am. And he never really – and I don't know if they really moved him inside or not or how much they experimented, but he never really moved inside there and said, this is my home either. So I just don't know where he's at or where he fits.
You anymore. Didn't have C.J. Henderson on yours. You just had five corners.
Yeah.
I'm curious if they kept him, though, because I think you and I both kind of go back and forth on him. If they were to keep C.J. Henderson, who are you? Are you? Is Natron Brooks now not part of this? Who's the first one out of your five if C.J. Henderson's part of it?
I'm taking for another position.
Okay.
I'm taking out of the linebacker spot. I would maybe do the pup thing with Anderson or – or Woods or Malone, one is not here, and Anderson, if he's healthy enough to be on the roster, is going to play special teams, which he would anyways. Because the thing for me is Natron Brooks, if you don't keep Jamal Agnew,
right,
you can't not keep Natron Brooks.
I agree.
Because him and D. Alford are now your return specialists.
Well, and again.
And Carlos Washington, possibly.
I was going to say, this is another conversation we're going to have where if you find somebody at the – this is exactly why I think that they're going to probably go look elsewhere for the third running back to try to find somebody that also returns kick, kind of a Cordarrelle Patterson from a couple of years ago that can do both of those roles, be your third, you know, third down guy if you need him, good guy at blitz pickup, can return kicks, and, you know, really step in a pinch. So we'll see what happens. But
don't forget Mike Hughes can do some return stuff too.
Yeah, he's out there. Ray as well.
Well, and I am curious with these 53, if you guys see any holes or where you might be worried position group-wise. We'll talk about that next. We've also got a life of squid.
Bill Belichick and his little girl Jordan, they got their TV show after all, right? Next on the Morning Show, Sports Radio 99 The Game and...
The Odyssey app is 841 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Dylan hanging out as well, keeping us on the rails. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. This is the last time we're going to be on air before this roster gets solidified, before all the cuts happen at 4 o'clock today.
It's kind of crazy because we've been talking about this, you know, these 90 for a long time.
Yeah.
Like all the way back to free agency.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I can't remember when that was, but man, we've molded some of these names over that we probably, some of them we might never even say again. So it's a crazy day.
I expect our group text to be bananas today. Will it not be? Or will it be?
Yeah, it will be. It will be, definitely. There's going to be some moves. Somebody just tweeted at me that, I guess Cam Robinson from the Texans is kind of they're discussing trading him, which means they want to cut him. They're going to cut him if they don't trade him by the end of the afternoon. And whoever did that, whoever would trade for him, have to take on what the almost $4 million. And then somebody hit me up and goes Falcon. My boy Jacob goes, he's a Falcon, and I'm like, Cam Robinson has not had a very good NFL career as of late.
He also plays strictly left tackle.
Yeah.
That's
so
all he's ever played.
I don't know. I hate this because it's just like you said. And Jacob's my boy, but I know what he's, you know, just trying to be optimistic. But it's like, guys, just because they play offensive line and they might be released doesn't mean that they fit everything. I don't think Cam Robinson would fit necessarily what they want to do here anyway.
He got traded to the Vikings last year, right? If I'm not mistaken, he was he got traded to the Vikings from Jacksonville last year.
Well, Jacksonville shipped. Yeah, they got rid of him because
yeah.
he's not very good right now.
He was making a lot of money at one point, and then they traded him. And then I think Houston signed him this offseason thinking he would be the new Laremy Tunsil there.
Yeah, but and
that didn't work out.
Yeah, and I think that they have a rookie there. Ursary is a guy that they think is ready to take over. That's why the only reason why I looked at Dan Skipper is because I knew he played. But you and I discussed last night that he can play both sides. And when I went and watched his film against the Texans, he was actually playing right tackle.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just got released. But even then,
the other thing is, if you are looking at a Cam Robinson, a guy like Cam Robinson is going to want money. That's the one thing we are not going to do in this situation. Caleb McGarry, for whatever is going on with him, and I'm sure we'll find out at some point today, is still going to be back and be your right tackle next year. Right? No matter what the length of time is, he will be back and be your right tackle at some point. So you're not going to go out and spend a bunch of money on some kind of big name free agent. For what? You already have two guys under contract for next year that are going to play tackle. You're going to get Storm Norton back probably right after the bye week this year. So it's just hold on to your britches out there, okay? Just because you know their name and they play offensive tackle doesn't mean we need to go get them.
And that's why that's the only reason why I took a serious look at Skipper. Was like, hey, could he? Because personally, I think the worst case scenario for McGarry, that's what I'm fearing. So that's the way I'm trying to think through this. So if you brought a guy like that in, he could be a swing if needed. And then you could kind of go with the better of the two between him and Norton once Norton's healthy.
Right.
Or maybe Wilkinson just shocks the crap out of you. And you have a good problem, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, that's the only reason why I looked there. I just don't. But then again, I looked again at some of the stuff Skipper did, and they weren't asking him to do to me what looked like wide zone stuff. And when he did anything in the run game, he looked a little sluggish.
You're going to sign if you go out in the open market and get an offensive lineman. You're going to sign what would be the offensive line version of like Jordan Fuller. A guy who you know fits the scheme you want, but is going to be very cheap and probably be here on a one-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what you're looking for. They know when they brought in Jordan Fuller in the offseason, they knew Raheem knew him. They knew that they knew what he was capable of. They knew that they fit what he wanted. They knew he'd be very cheap and that you were going to need a safety at some point because you were going to add one through the draft. So look for that. And I still say, before it's all said and done, I still say I would look for movement on the interior of the offensive line before I did at the tackle spot.
Well, and that's where I one of the other things I was looking at guys released yesterday. And again, I'm just looking at names and saying, does he fit? Could he do what we want to do? And Nick Harris came open from Washington. He's a smaller guy at center, and they run a very similar system with, you know, not the same, but the similar, and they have ran similar stuff in the past. So I understand the whole thing, but you got to remember they need to be a right tackle first and foremost, and they need to be able to run something similar. They got to be able to get up to that second level in the run game.
Hey, I do want to mention we have a really cool giveaway right now. If you call into the show, if you call Dylan at 404-726-0929, you have a chance to win a pair of tickets to an exclusive scrimmage between the Belize national team, Atlanta United 2 scrimmage. This is closed to the public. It's Saturday, September 6th, 2025, at the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta Training Ground in Marietta. We're going to have two winners. So callers 9 and 10 right now, 404-726-0929.
Dude, I just started sweating knowing that my wife's birthday is the day after that, and I haven't got her any gift. I was like, wait, how soon is that? Oh, okay, I still got a month.
Get your phone, call.
Oh, God. I was like, whoa, are we there already? Jeez.
Hey, there's been an update on the Portnoy stuff real quick before we get Life of Squid. Ross Dellinger said that Ohio State did not issue a ban. Ross Bjork, the AD there, says that Fox decided Portnoy would not be on the main desk of Big Noon, and those on the main desk do not normally appear on the field. Do you believe that? He's saying this is a Fox. These are Fox decisions.
I don't know. The article I read earlier was from On Three.
Yeah,
and so it wasn't like a Barstool thing, which usually, you know, Portnoy loves stirring the pot, and he would have released it himself, and he would have done like some kind of emergency video and posted on Instagram. The fact that it came from On Three leads me to believe that Ohio State is the one saying, you know, the wrong thing here.
I tend to believe that this is Ohio State, and now they've gotten with Fox, and Fox is like, hey, you know, we're gonna look, we'll play ball here. But
my understanding was that he was never going to be a part of the actual show. He just had like a segment or two, right? I don't know.
I don't know. I didn't think he was going to be Pat McAfee on there.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Yeah, but it's just, I'm telling you, when we let schools start controlling who they allow in their stadium, it is not. It's not going to end up like people think. It's a bad thing.
It's not what you want, man.
Yeah.
Not what you want at all.
Once you start, you know, taking that away, nope. Access is a good thing. It's in our sports. Always, Baron Burton's W Sauce Fire Shire, the everyday hot sauce. You giggling about over there.
Just wasn't sure if you were going to talk at any
point.
Quite an
intro.
This intro has been running for a minute, man.
What are you talking about? No, it didn't. Always let it hit.
All three of us looked at each other and was like, is he okay?
There was no sign over there that you were going to talk. None.
Well, since when do I not talk?
I'm glad you said that. We'll remember that at 8 o'clock tomorrow.
Let me tell you something. This guy does one decent top five list. And he's done his daggum starts peacocking around here like he's a big dog. All right?
You said it best. It was
remember
the best
who the big dog
did.
Is. Right here.
Okay.
Management hat right here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I guess got accosted by Steak Shapiro in there about being management.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, speaking of management, Bill Belichick has announced on the Twitters that they are going to do a show about North Carolina football. And Hulu is where it's going to air. Ever Wonder Studio will produce a series. And in the release... Or the little tweet, he goes, this is about the UNC football program. There's obviously a lot of interest in it, and it'll stream on Hulu later this fall. And then he goes on to say, it's going to feature the players working hard, which you guys do because he's talking to the team. It's about the players improving and getting better through their hard work, which you do. As Belichick continued, he goes, and a program starting from where it started several months ago, to wherever it's going to go during the course of the season, which, of course, will be determined on the field. It'll show our commitment to winning. It'll show our commitment to the team. And that's our priority. So the question is how much does Jordan have to do with this, his girlfriend? And how much control does she have over the editorial? Because we've seen how the interviews go.
Oh, there's no way that they signed off on this without having final editorial control over the show. Zero chance.
No, not them. It's her. How much does she have? Because we saw a 60 Minutes interview where he's like, how did you meet? We're not talking about this. We're not doing this. No. And she shut it down.
Yeah.
Not Bill. Jordan.
I don't know. I can't imagine any type of video coming out that they've signed off on where she's part of the show. I can't imagine it. Cannot fathom a world where they actually both decide or one decides that like she should be a part of this.
Why would you not think that they would want that spectacle, that attention? That 60 Minutes interview was everywhere.
Yeah, but that's not his thing.
Hold on I'm an ally with this one because the reason they didn't do a hard one with the Hard Knocks people is because Jordan wanted to sign off on control. In fact, it said she reportedly wanted to be heavily involved with the project, which is the one with Hard Knocks. Therefore, that leads me to believe, in Allie's line of thinking, that in order to get this, they got the parameters around it that they wanted, mm-hmm. which meant she will be heavily involved. She'll have probably editorial control, as I think that's what you put it. And I'm sure she's going to be in it.
She's definitely going to have editorial control. Don't get me mistaken. I'm saying she's not going to have a role on video.
Nope.
I can't imagine that
she wants to have a role on video or that they want her to have a role on video.
I don't know about that.
They've basically turned me into what's her name's mom on Teen Mom. I see you with Kifa.
Barbara.
Yeah, it's like, I see you with Jordan.
It's so weird, man. It's like an alternate reality.
It's weird because she could be like almost his great-granddaughter at this point.
Can I also just take 20 seconds for you and I and Allie to take a victory lap here? The people that wanted Bill Belichick to be the Falcons head coach haven't heard from him.
True.
Like, we haven't heard anything. This whole spectacle has been going on at UNC. It's like, yep, that was probably a good move.
Well, they realized how stupid that the whole thing was because they were like, well, I don't care. Give him this control. Well, you were going to give him control and you would have had – could you – let me – I'm not calling this person out because this is not what I'm trying to do. But could you imagine if Jordan had control at Flowery Branch right now?
Oh, God.
You know how quickly Mike Bell would last?
Oh, God. Oh, Lord.
No, I'm just talking about she would have had him fired already. And not that we give that control, but she'd have tried.
I was going to say, don't even throw that out there because somebody's going to be like, you said that the Falcons control your jobs. Nope,
they don't. But I'm going to tell you something. She would have been down here at Kia Studios trying to get him out of here because, you know, Mike would not have – he would have unloaded on her.
No doubt.
And she deserves it.
Dude, it's such a crazy reality we're living in.
She has made herself seem like this a villain. She's become a villain in Bill Belichick's story.
So she's got to rewrite it with this show.
She could have made your top five list.
Well, congrats to TM and Jason for winning those Atlanta United tickets. We got a roll for Mike, Bo, Dylan, and myself, Allie Mack. Thanks for being here today. Now, Mike is hanging around with Steak today, so stick around for the Steakhouse. It's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget to...
Don't date a Jordan. Stay cool, Atlanta.